I think this is something we need to ask ourselves. Like, do we really want the government compiling lists of its citizens? You know, I think what we want instead is freedom.
For anyone who's not familiar with this case, he's going to be heading to federal prison here in the next week and a half or so. These guys got screwed at every stage of the legal proceedings.
Like, your whole generation is all crazy for wondering, like, how come I can't live? It's so expensive. Save this graph for the Christmas party where your uncle just patronizes you about how you're being lazy and need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, because this is a real huge issue.
Find something else that motivates you besides the price of Bitcoin. Stop thinking about the price 10 years from now and just do something that's valuable today.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. Tony is still on the road, so I've got Greer and we have special guest Ben Werman. Gents, let's jump right into the news. Up first, Attorney General Pam Bondi has directed the FBI to assemble a list of Americans who may be considered extremists. I'll be honest with you guys, I first saw this story and I thought I was cooked, but maybe there's some hope for me. Greer, I'm going to let you chime in on this first, man. It doesn't matter what party you elect, the political enemies will be attacked.
Yeah, it's funny. They're all into lists all of a sudden. You know, let's create a list. We think lists are great, but there's a notable list that they either said didn't exist or was a hoax, or they refused to release it to the public. So, you know, this one to me it smacks of hypocrisy. I looked at the people they're going to put on the list, and I got to say, I'm not opposed to this because I think it's a lot of left-wing ideology that they're targeting. But the point goes that no matter who you elect into power, the opposite party is going to come for their enemies. So, you know, with the midterms coming up next year and another four-year election shortly after that, I think this is something we need to ask ourselves. Like, do we really want the government compiling lists of its citizens? You know, I think what we want instead is freedom. Yes, we have problems in our society, but I don't think they get solved by a top-down approach of creating enemies lists from either party.
Yeah, I think the FBI should be disbanded, much less be making lists of Americans who they disagree with. Ben, what do you think, man?
100% agree. I couldn't have said any better. It's just, I think people are finally starting to realize that, well, some people, not all people, obviously, but once the president has said, it's going to be used against you eventually. So even if it looks like something you'd be okay with in the short term, you're giving this power to the government by celebrating and agreeing with it. So it's not going to be good long term for anybody, especially if you are speaking truth to power in any way, which a lot of us here in the Bitcoin world like to do. It would not be good for us to be endorsing that the government is able to put you on a naughty list and do whatever they want with you. That is not what we want. That's not the future we want. So even if you don't like these specific people that they're putting on a group now, you should not be supporting this. You should be completely against the government doing anything like this. 100%.
Yeah. As soon as there's a change of power, we're going to see a list the opposite direction, and then you're not going to like it. I think that's the trap most people fall into, is they cheer on the thing that sounds good, regardless of how unconstitutional and ridiculous and absurd it might be. Alrighty, guys, the Russell 2000 breakout just happened. So historically, every major Russell breakout has been followed by a Bitcoin run into its cycle high with alts going vertical. Don't care about that. So small caps ripping, I guess, is kind of the signal here. People are they have an appetite for risk that maybe they haven't the last few years. Ben, what do you think, man? Because you haven't been on in a little while. We haven't had a chance to talk price action. We've been, you know, dipping, obviously. What do you think is going on?
Yeah, well, you know me. I don't care about price action. Like, to me, it's just kind of like that's like a whole circus that all the people follow. I'm in it for the long term. I know it's going to be the next global reserve currency in the future. But it's fun to just watch it and see how everyone's reacting. But we may get lucky here for people going home for the holidays and hoping to have something to brag about or not get laughed at by your family. So we'll see if it comes true. I know people are in bad shape for Thanksgiving, so maybe you'll get a comeback.
Yeah, the one upside. Greer, you're our resident moon boy.
That's true. Yes, I am the moon boy. But I think this is great. You know, the last time that the Russell 2000 broke out was 4 years ago in 2021, and we saw 380% increase in Bitcoin's price. I think the fundamentals for Bitcoin's price going up are completely established here. You know, unlike 2021, today we have the banks, the institutions, everybody seems to want to hold Bitcoin, to custody it for you, to give you debt based on a based on the amount of Bitcoin you hold. The loans are here. It will be a credit instrument. So I think that the upside here is that, you know, this chance to stack sats on the cheap below 100 is probably going to go away pretty soon. And I think, you know, some of these leading indicators kind of help us understand that. You know, I think, you know, it's still a little bit early. Some of this remains to be seen. But if, you know, if we get a similar move like we did a few years ago, then say hello to higher prices.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, guys, the math no longer maths when it comes to accumulating wealth the traditional way. So this guy put together a spreadsheet. 20 years, 7% returns, 3% inflation, 40% taxes. Best case, you 1.5x your investment. That is why the kids YOLO it, plain and simple. Greer, you sent this story, man. I wouldn't have guessed the math to be this bad. What was your thought on this when you saw it?
Yeah, it's bad. It shows you that even if you're doing the right thing by investing, you're still not going to outpace what the government is doing to money, which is destroying it. You know, they're destroying purchasing power through inflation. And we've known that, you know, the S&P typically tracks the inflation rate. It goes up 7% a year. And there are also people in my circle that say, hey, what's going on with the kids? Why do the kids all seem like they're yellowing into everything? They're gambling online, they're using betting apps. And I think this is the way that people feel like they have to get ahead. You can't just do the right thing anymore. The rules have been broken so badly that you are left with no other option than to just bet it all on your favorite sports team or Black or whatever event, you know, pops up on your Kalshi app. It's really a shame because it leads to a degenerate society. We shouldn't be putting all of our effort into the outcome of some trivial event. What we should be doing is investing in sound money. You know, I think if you were to forget about all the betting apps and just look at what Bitcoin has done, to me, that is the only way out of this. You know, Bitcoin shows you unrealized returns that, you know, are outpacing what you would get in the traditional markets. So instead of being a degenerate gambler, I would say study Bitcoin, learn why it goes up, understand the game theory, understand the scarce supply, and I think you'll be in a much better place 10 years from now or 20 years from now once Bitcoin is fully integrated into the world. You know, and if you can zoom out that far, you know, ask yourself what you think the price of one simple Bitcoin could be. And I think once you do that, you know, it becomes the one place that you want to invest in.
Absolutely. And actually, the guy who posted this had asked Grok if these numbers made sense. And they said that the projections for the next decade range for the S&P range from about 4 to 6.5%, according to Vanguard and Goldman. 7% is toward the higher end, but reasonable in optimistic scenarios. So the numbers could look a lot worse. 1, 2, 3%, like that makes a huge difference over 20 years. Ben, we got people YOLOing into anything and everything, not enough into Bitcoin, it doesn't seem. What do you think?
Yeah, anyone who has studied history knows that this is always what happens when there's an economic downturn. When stability is no longer an option for people, it's not giving them the needs that they have. It's not fulfilling their basic functions of being able to own a place to live and feed themselves and their families. Then they are forced into more desperate actions and just throwing a dart at a board and hoping that you're saved by one of these gambles. It's just gambling always becomes prevalent when it happens. So anyone out there just looking at the young people doing this and thinking they're just going insane for no reason, that's not the case. It's a bigger picture problem. And we need to understand that when figuring out how we tackle this. And I would completely agree, of course, that the Bitcoin is the best answer to have out there, just at least get on people's radar, because that is the most stable thing we have. We love our TikTok next block meme every 10 minutes chugging along. And this is why I said earlier, I don't care that much about the price action, largely because that scares people away a lot. It does sometimes pull people in, like some of us, but when you look at it long term, it's the most stable thing there is. Forget about the fiat price. Look at the stability and how it can provide stability to your life and your finances. And just share this with people who you know, who you can maybe sense are getting into a bit of that desperate mode, and just say, hey, put a couple bucks in this per week. A tiny bit of money. Like it's crazy how the story is always the same. It doesn't matter how much you put in there. Just getting a little bit of skin in the game will get you curious and learning more about it that can completely change your mindset around money and pull you out of that degenerate gambling mode. And for so many people, that is manifested in like graduating from crypto, moving into Bitcoin, like I did. I know a lot of people did. That is the perfect example of that. And my mindset is so much better than it was when I was in crypto world, that's for sure. And I haven't heard anyone that left crypto for Bitcoin and ended up disappointed about it. It seemed like pretty much everyone just is happy they did. They got out of that mess.
Yeah. I used to give the advice just, you know, to, I think to Greer's point, start learning, read some books, listen to some podcasts. I've started, at least in my personal life, not financial advice, I've started encouraging people, skip a cup of Starbucks once a week and put $10 in a week as you learn. Because I think once you have some amount, you begin, like, you feel like you have something to, you know, there's a justification for the learning. You're not going to continue to put it off as long. And even if you end up deciding Bitcoin's not for me, which I don't think anyone does when they put in a few hours, you know, you've already begun like this journey of accumulation. And if you choose to opt out of that, which I wouldn't encourage, you can, you know, you can sell and you're not going to break the bank doing that. All righty, let's talk tech. So a new browser,
rather than sell it, you can go to one of the tons of new Square terminals now accept Bitcoin, and you can buy back that coffee you talked about somewhere that accepts Bitcoin.
Because beautiful. Go to Steak and Shake.
Yeah. So then you can also, if you truly decide you want to opt out, that's okay. Like, everyone's different. You can get the experience of buying something in Bitcoin and have that under your belt too, and just understand that this is happening. And I think that will also keep you in that world a little bit more. And maybe you'll be more likely to come back in the future. This is if you're talking to one of your friends that is showing skepticism.
100%. By the way, I was on the road this weekend with my dad and brother, and we stopped in a little town in Illinois, and there was a Steak and Shake. I was like, hey guys, let's get lunch at Steak and Shake. So I bought lunch with Bitcoin. I think I was their first Bitcoin transaction because the lady had no idea. She had to go get her manager. They had to like figure it all out. So if you are going to go spend your Bitcoin, depending on where you are, you might need to be patient as they.
And that's
they
good too. We if anyone else out there is the first person to be a transaction for a specific place, that's awesome. You should feel good about that. You're helping them grow as well. So if it's a local business or something, you should give yourself a big pat on the back. Maybe tweet about it or share it around and ask them if they want to like take a picture or something and celebrate, because that's a big moment for both of you guys.
Yeah, completely. Great burgers, by the way, at Steak and Shake. All righty, guys. New browser tool lets users freeze the internet in 2022 to escape AI-generated content. Say goodbye to AI slop. So, you can click the link below or follow along here. But interesting concept here. Greer is someone who utilizes AI rather substantially in the work that you do. Is this an extension you're going to be plugging in?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to test this out and see what it's like. I think today, you know, you can read an article or read a post and you know that it's generated by AI. It just doesn't sound the way somebody would speak or write. And I think, of course, we all know from the memes and the videos and the images. Yeah, it would be nice to go back to a simpler time. So I credit the creators of this. I think it's a cool concept. And I think technology, the lesson here is if something is surging, whether it's AI slop or digital ID or some other kind of, top-down approach, you're going to find people that buck the system and find a way around things and create tools that people want. So I think, you know, this is great just for the creativity and for the improvement that it could have if you're an anti-AI kind of person. So yeah, I hope we see more of this.
Yeah.
Ben, you were talking offline about the importance of trust as we move into this AI age.
Yeah, I really think that trust is going to be the either first or second most important currency out there after Bitcoin, because like as you, nobody knows if things are going to be AI generated or not in the future, which as we've seen just in these most recent updates, it's pretty much at the point where you can't even tell if a video is fake or not. Like it is so real looking. You can't spot the goofy looking faces or six fingers like we used to. It's starting to look pretty darn convincing. And a lot of people out there have probably posted or reposted things that are AI not even known at this point. I know there's one video of like a monkey jumping onto an umbrella that looks completely real. And someone mentioned later that this is AI. I'm like, maybe it could be. I don't even know. Like, I don't know anymore. Like, we don't know. It looks so real. So just this idea of trust being huge, because at least we can have people that we follow on social media that we know are going to be committed to being 100% real, myself included. I have a blog where I write content all the time. I would never touch AI for that. My podcast, never touch AI. Like, I care about being real for those people. And there are a lot of other creators out there who are very dedicated to this. And so I think that it's going to be much more of a trust economy in the future, where, especially when you're operating online, just knowing that the people in your circle are 100% legitimate. And we're going to see these communities form who are just against this. And there's all kinds of tools coming out for this and different platforms that are starting to implement things like this. I don't know if you guys have been following the Vine reboot thing that's been going on, Divine on Noster, but they have the whole platform is going to be like no AI allowed. So we'll see how well that works, because like I said, it's going to be so hard to tell, but interesting times to follow, because it really is blurring the lines between reality and fakery. And it's going to be interesting to see, like you said, Greer, how people find ways to get around that when it is inherently so hard to tell.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Alrighty, guys, for anyone who has confusion as to why Gen Z and millennials sometimes feel bitter toward boomers, not that you should feel bitterness or any resentment. Boomers were born at the time that they were born, and they took advantage of the opportunities they had. But I think this chart is pretty wild. If you look at the increasing income housing gap, so the median home price back in, what year was this, 1985, was just under $80,000. Today, it's over $430,000, and the income median household income has only gone up, 3.5x from 22 to 75 about. So it is much more difficult, even with high interest rates of the 70s. And I understand all of that. Even with ultra high interest rates back in the day, much less affordable today for someone starting out to buy a home. Greer, you sent me the story, so I'll let you run with it first.
Yeah, I think it's a clear picture of the generational divide that we're seeing. You know, it's tough to be a millennial or a zoomer today. You know, the money is broken. You're not getting paid nearly as much comparably to other generations, and things cost more than they ever did. So that puts someone who's a young person without a lot of capital and without a lot of income in a really tough position. Another thing is, you know, these age groups, they can look at their paycheck every other week and see that a huge portion of it goes to Social Security. That program is going to run out of money before they're ever able to get paid back from what they put in. And so I think, you know, there's a lot of bitterness because they're holding the bag for generations that are aging out. They were made promises to by generations before, and it's really not working. And I think, you know, there are some solutions on the table. And I think some of it is, you know, deport the millions of people who have come in illegally into the country and make housing more abundant. I think we'll also see, challenges from our money. Hopefully those will improve, but I doubt it. It looks like, you know, the inflation is only going to continue, making asset prices higher. But really, I think, you know, the younger generations need a solution. And it doesn't look to me like the people who are in power in Congress really care. It looks like they are making sure that their entitlements are protected at the sake of the younger generations.
Yeah, I think eliminating the Code of Federal Regulations, I think eliminating the welfare state and making sure anyone who is here illegally is either gone or has zero access to anything beyond what they produce on their own, I think would be the solution to much of this. Ben, the other you've got sort of a cheat code too, and that is you just travel around. You're not looking for a house right now, man. You're not on Zillow. What's your comment on this?
Yeah, bro, I've been floating around just like as we speak. I'm in Austin, Texas, at a really cool little Bitcoin citadel down here, full of guys in a warehouse that are working on Bitcoin projects. So, you know, and what would my life be like if houses were actually affordable? We will never know. And there are a lot of people out there who are in a similar boat because it's tough. And I'm in that crowd as well. And for all the young people out there who are just looking at this and feeling hopeless, you just got to learn about Bitcoin, because Bitcoin will take you through the rabbit hole of like how we got to this way. You are not crazy. You're not like your whole generation is not crazy for wondering, like, how come I can't live? It's so expensive. Save this graph for the Christmas party where your uncle just patronizes you about how you're being lazy and need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, because this is a real huge issue. And we need to really focus on how we can help ourselves out of this mess, each and every one of us, because a lot of us out there are in a similar boat. Even if we understand Bitcoin and understand it's the answer, it's still hard. It doesn't mean that you're going to be instantly like out of this mess just by being a Bitcoiner. But knowing the problem, understanding the problem is a huge, important step that we can all take part in and just work our way out of the mess that we find ourselves in. Because it's so unfortunate for the young people out there. It's like every day you see a new viral video of someone crying in their car because they've been working three jobs, they can't afford to eat food. Like it's absolutely ridiculous, and we need to put our heads together and solve this for the future, because it's so tragic how the older generations, not everyone in these generations obviously, but as a whole, those in power in the baby boomer generation have set things up in a way where there's been a 180 cut away from creating policy that helps the future first before themselves. And they basically like insulated themselves from all the problems and screwing over the future generations. And that needs to absolutely stop.
Exactly. Okay, guys. So this is Greer's bullish. So I'm just going to read straight through this tweet. Let me get this straight. BlackRock says Bitcoin ETFs are its top source of revenue. Larry Fink says sovereign nations are buying Bitcoin. JP Morgan is offering products tied to IBIT. Vanguard now allows clients to access Bitcoin ETFs. Bank of America suggests a 4% Bitcoin allocation. Charles Schwab plans to introduce a Bitcoin ETF in early 26. Abu Dhabi announced it bought $520 million of BlackRock's Bitcoin ETF. Texas bought $10 million worth of Bitcoin. The Fed ended QT on December 1st. There's a 95% chance the Fed cuts interest rates next week, and you're calling the Bitcoin top at $126,000. Greer, I got to let you take this one first again, man. You bullish?
I mean, that tweet says it all. You know, retail is selling. The number of people who own one Bitcoin has dropped to a 3-year low. You know, I think everyone who's a regular guy is ready to give up. You know, they were promised $220,000 by, you know, last year, and it didn't happen this year. And I think we're just burned out. You know, we're tired of watching the price action. But I would say, don't walk away. There's nothing better than Bitcoin. Don't trade your Bitcoin for dollars and sit on the sidelines and hope to buy back lower. You might not get a chance. And we're getting these huge, you know, companies, institutions, governments, they're all interested in even getting a little bit of Bitcoin. So I would say, you know, endure. Find something else that motivates you besides the price of Bitcoin. Stop thinking about the price of, you know, 10 years from now, and just do something that's valuable today. You know, find a way to contribute or create something where you can get paid in Bitcoin. It's totally possible. I think that, you know, shifting your perspective from I want Bitcoin to rise now so that I can be confirmed that my beliefs are true, just forget about all that. You know, the money is going to come into Bitcoin. There's not going to be any choice. It is going to happen. And I think the trade-off is it might not happen as quickly as you want. But look at what's going on. You know, Bitcoin is not dead. And as Ben said at the beginning, TikTok, next block, we will get there.
Ben, I know you're not a number go up maxi, but I imagine you have to be feeling a little bit bullish on price action when you look at a tweet like this.
Of course. And when I say I don't care about the price action, I don't care because I know it's going to go up long term. I have the long term view, and I know that the medium short term stuff is just going to take away your sleep, so I just don't even think about it. And one of the things I would recommend to the people out there who are feeling a little on edge or anxious about the price, one of the things that I've just been pushing on more and more people is to go check out Noster, because this is a place, not only is it a good emotional support group if you're unhappy about the price, because everyone on there is a Bitcoiner and you can air your grievances and hang out with a bunch of other people that are in Bitcoin, but it is really built on like just focusing on your craft and what you love doing and not worrying about these prices of things. Like just yesterday, this jacuzzi company that accepts Bitcoin, they build like custom cedar jacuzzis in Seattle. They came on to Noster and said, "Hey guys, this is cool. Like, let's check this out." And there's just such a vibe of like creating the stuff that you create and focusing on what you love to do in life. And you could also stack Bitcoin for it. So it's just a way to just kind of detach. Like, to me, Twitter is always talking about the price, and Nostr is more talking about creating cool things and just not worrying about that stuff. So there's always a different place to go. If you feel like your social circle or where you're getting your content from is stressing you out and getting you stuck in this loop of worrying about day-to-day price things, I would look for a new place to spend your time. And for me, that's been Nostr. I'm like 90% Nostr, 10% Twitter at this point.
Love that, man. That's awesome. Alrighty, guys. So I had the opportunity yesterday to interview Keone Rodriguez, one of the Samurai devs. Just for anyone who's not familiar with this case, he's going to be heading to federal prison here in the next week and a half or so. And these guys got screwed at every stage of the legal proceedings. I mean, the FBI raid was beyond overkill. The government hid highly relevant evidence. They'd gone to the regulator to determine if, you know, Samurai was a licensed money transmitter. The regulator said no. And they didn't tell them that for a long time. They finally found it as they proceeded with discovery. The judge was changed a few days before they had some of their before they officially started the trial. They ignored their motion to dismiss the case without any argument or hearing on that. Crazy. So what I would say is, regardless of what you think about the things they said or anything like this, this was a complete bastardization of the judicial process. There is a petition. We need to get the attention of Donald Trump to pardon Keone and his business partner, Bill. Ben, I'm not sure how much you followed the case. I assume you're at least, you know, aware of what's going on. But do you have any comment or call to action for folks listening to this?
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't been following the day-to-day updates a whole lot, but obviously this is just a ridiculous lawfare going on. They're creating free speech software, like we talked about. And I would say for things like this, like a petition where you can just put your name down and say that you support this, is something that everyone should be doing because it's super easy. And it's a way to, at very low effort, show that you care about this. And whether or not this ends up working, like, we can keep our fingers crossed, but there have been so many examples where when people speak up and do something as simple as a petition, it has that effect of showing that people really do care about this, and it's kind of like a digital protest. So I'd say it doesn't hurt, might help, and people should go sign that, check it out. Hope we can keep these guys safe from just a ridiculous breach of justice.
Yeah, and just to be clear, I think Ross Ulbricht had joined a Spaces with Keone, and he said that one of the most impactful things in his fight for freedom was the petition. So every signature counts. Greer, anything you'd add to that?
Yeah, I would think that Trump would want to do away with this prosecution just because it's a relic of the contemptible Biden administration. You know, we're watching Trump dismantle so many things that Biden put in place. To me, this looks like just the next one that he can rip off the wall and throw into the dustbin. I've been on both sides of this as I've watched the story play out, and I agree with you. I think that the way that justice was handled in this case is not the way that any American should be treated. So, yeah, I think more signatures are required. We've got, 4,000? We need quite a bit more in order to move the needle, in my opinion.
Yeah, completely. All righty, guys. I think that's a good place to wrap up. Ben, hey, why don't you give a handoff? Thank you again for being here. Tell everyone where they can find you.
Yeah, we got the podcast. Ben Werman Podcast is where I've been putting most of my stuff. Like I mentioned earlier, Nostr is where I spend most of my time, honestly. I just think that's the future of social media and a great place to go and be yourself and not have to worry about, for now, they're not watching that for a list that we know to be put on that Pam Bondi's extremist list. And you know you can't be banned, so it's a lot better place to be sharing your knowledge and your insight and just social media in general. So yeah, I'll be on Nostr. Primal.net/Ben.
Primal.net/Ben. Greer, tell people about Bird Flip.
Yeah, well, you can get a hat like this mempool hat that I'm wearing. We sell low OPSEC Bitcoin clothing, and you can pay in Bitcoin if you want to.
Perfect. It's shopbirdflip.com.
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah. All righty, guys. Thank you for being here, both of you, and for everyone who tuned in. Really appreciate it. Stick around for another minute. You can learn a bit about the Bitcoin way, how we can help you on your journey to self-sovereignty. Gents, great chatting. We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Hey there. Thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe. Stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.